There's a lot of material left, but we'll just review very quickly because we have four file drawers. And at the end of the chapter, we're going to pull a whole new cabinet and have four new ones. So there's eight drawers in total, but we're going to go through five today. So you ready? Got your running shoes on? We have to get through them all. But we want to review very quickly because he first addressed the married, and the question was, can I say no? Do you remember the context there? Say no what? Yeah, but I got to remember this drawer. What was he talking about? Who has authority over your body? Do you remember that discussion? Your spouse does. Can you say no in refusing yourself in the sexual relationship? And what was the answer? No. There. Okay, we're all together now. So that's what he said. No. The next question was to the unmarried, can I marry? And the answer was the general rule of marriage. We'll look at that real quickly. So then we looked at, can I divorce? And the answer there was no. That's the general rule of divorce. Now, the last one we're going to look at in this first cabinet is, must I divorce? It's in a mixed marriage. We'll explain that. So when we look at these real quickly again, he said the general rule of marriage that if you're an unmarried person, you can join yourself to an equally unmarried person, a male and female. That's the general rule of marriage. If you're unmarried, you can marry. Now, it's unmarried in God's definition, not the world's, okay? What is an unmarried person? They're not bound in a relationship. So we know that this is the definition we're working with, that it's a covenant relationship. And that's so important, that you're binding yourself to another person by taking an oath, and God is joining you together as one flesh. And so you're agreeing to be joined together as husband, wife. And are there stipulations of that covenant? Yes. Are there consequences when you break the covenant? Yes, the marriage bound can be broken. So that's what we saw. So the answer was, again, no, you can't abstain except for prayer. Remember that? Can I marry? Yes, that's the general rule. The general rule of divorce is, again, we said no. And we saw that last time. He says, I said this and not the Lord. Is that what he said? No, he said, not I, but the Lord. What does that mean? You tell me, because we talked about it last time. All right, so this is not new instruction. And Paul's saying, the Lord's already said this. And we looked at where the Lord said it. Because he was asked, can we divorce for any cause? And what was the answer Jesus said? No. Now, Paul doesn't deal with the exception. So that's why we call this the general rule of marriage or divorce. The answer is no, don't. That's the general rule. Is there exception? Yes. Does Paul deal with exception? No. All right, he doesn't. Jesus did, okay? So now we're in, like I said, this mixed marriage. And it starts when he says, to the rest I say, not the Lord. And so let's look at that in your Bible and read it together so we're, you know, hearing it straight from Paul and not just me. So we're down now in verse 12. To the rest. Now, that's our first clue that we're shutting the last drawer we talked about. That's the unhappily married Christians. And we're opening a new drawer, a new category of people. Are you with me? To the rest, I say not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, let him not send her away. And it goes the other way around. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, let her not send her husband away. All right, so these are the instructions. We got to make sense of it, but we're going to start with this phrase, I say not the Lord. What does that mean?
Jesus didn't address this issue.
Okay, that's what we introduced last time. Jesus never addressed this. Because earlier he said, the Lord says, not I. See, the Lord's already talked about this. Now he's saying, here's something the Lord has never spoke about. Now, the alternative view is Paul, and none of them is cogent, you can't make sense of it, that Paul's saying, well, what I'm telling you now is my opinion. The Lord didn't say this. It's not an instruction from the Lord. I'm going to give you my opinion. Well, then don't waste our time, Paul. If this is not bound on us, We don't want to hear it. Is that fair to say? All right. And later, he's actually going to give his opinion in this chapter. He says concerning, you know, he's going to talk about the virgins. I give no command, but I give an opinion I think is trustworthy. So he tells you it's his opinion. So this is not opinion, or else he would have said it. All right. And so, again, the only thing that makes sense is when he says, I say not the Lord. He's not saying it's not authoritative. He's just saying the Lord's never spoke about this. Can you think of some things the Lord never gave instruction about, but we practice because the apostles, by the authority of the Lord, instructed us? Can you think of anything? Parts of it. Jesus instituted, but we do learn some parts about it, right? In 1 Corinthians 11, coming up, right? What aspects?
Singing.
Yeah, there's a lot about our worship. And how about 1 Corinthians 14 we're going to get to about how to conduct a service and who can speak and who cannot speak? That's all new information you never got by the words of Jesus, all right? That would be something else. Elders, qualification of elders. You know, part of the formation of the organization church. What did Jesus say about those things himself that is recorded for us? Zero. It's all given us by the hands of the apostles, okay? But it's still from the Lord. Does that make sense? So this is new instruction because why? Because this situation's never existed before. And that's what we're going to explain. And the new rule is don't leave unless... Okay, so the general is don't leave. What do you mean, don't leave what? So here's the scenario. Here's a brother and his wife is an unbeliever. She's not a Christian. And then the opposite scenario is the same. Here's a woman who is a Christian and she has an unbelieving husband. Now, you can call it a mixed marriage if you want to use that term, but I would say it's a Christian married to a non-covenant person, or a, why would I mean by that?
They don't have a covenant relationship with God.
Very good. So Israel is our background, because remember in Exodus 19, God said, if you do everything I say, I'll make you a holy nation. I'll enter into a covenant with you. You'll be my special people. And three times the nation of Israel said, all the Lord has said, we will do. So there was like a marriage. They were in a covenant relationship. And God's blessings came upon them. Now, there were requirements on their part. And so part of that covenant relationship of Israel, God said, when it comes to marriage, I don't want you marrying who? I don't want you to marry who? You remember Israel, their rules of marriage? Anyone who was... not in a covenant relationship with God. They weren't an Israelite. Now, you could proselyte and become a Jew, right? So you didn't have to be born one, but if you were outside the covenant of Israel, you weren't supposed to marry them because they would turn your hearts away. There were a lot of reasons, but that was the law, wasn't it? And in Malachi, they were told to put away their foreign wives, non-covenant relationship. So that was so embedded in them spiritually. Now we fast forward and we're in the new covenant that's not written on stone. It's written on our hearts. It's between God and Jesus and us. It's very similar. It's strictly spiritual, but there's blessings physically. And so here are these Christians that are in this relationship with God because they were in the world, but they heard the gospel and were born again into Christ through baptism. Their names were written in the book of life, and they're a child of God, but they're married to who? Someone that's lost still, still a foreigner, that has no hopes, without God, has no relationship. They're not part of the family of God. So here's their problem. They're going, I'm holding hands with God, right? God is light, and in him there is no darkness. He who says he walks in the light, but yet has fellowship with God, but yet holds hands with darkness, what does John say? You're a liar. Because you can't hold hands with darkness and hold hands with God at the same time. You can't introduce darkness into your relationship with God. Does that make sense? That's 1 John chapter 1. And so they're thinking, I'm holding hands. I'm in a covenant with a non-believer, a non-Christian, someone outside the kingdom of God. And yet I'm in a covenant relationship with God. Do I have to let go of this covenant to be pure and holy with God? Is that a good question? Because in the old covenant, the answer was, you can't do that. You got to get rid of them.
Either that or break your covenant with God.
That's right. You can't hold hands both ways. And so this is a new scenario. Now think about this. We're going preaching the gospel as if you're an apostle. You're going into towns like Corinth, these Gentile towns, and you're preaching this good news of hope and salvation, and you're promoting unity and peace, but you're breaking up every family. Because if this was not the rule, you're telling people that when they come to Christ, if your husband or your wife doesn't convert too, you have to divorce them. Now you're breaking up families, breaking up the children, and making them, you know, part of a divided family. What kind of reputation would Christianity have? Can you imagine? And so this is a real important question. And they're asking it because they want to be pure to God. And that's why Paul's answering it. So I've tried to set the background so you understand what we're dealing with here. And so he just jumps right to it. He says, if you're married to an unbelieving husband and he what? He or she, what's the word? Consents. He said, this is not what I signed up for. And I've heard this said, honestly. You know, when we got married, we used to party. We'd go to Vegas, you know, and we would do all these things. And now that you're a Christian, you're changed. You're not the woman I married. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
In some ways, yes. It's a great thing, you know, and then, but she's supposed to also be changed as far as a Christian wife, just like when a man becomes a Christian, he's a better Christian husband, right? Loving her like he did used to love her. But he says, but I'll still agree to live with you. I consent. It's not what I wanted, but I'll live with you. So what does the Lord say? Don't divorce her and don't send your husband away, both ways, right? Because the wife, it's really got to be hard for her because the man is the spiritual leader of the family and she's now a Christian and he's not. What kind of spiritual leader is he going to be? Not very much of one. But the message is, if he consents to live with her, you can't send him away. Because the general rule of divorce is what?
Don't.
All right? Yes. Good. Yeah. I think I got a slide that'll help address that. Yeah. And but the quick answer is there's lots of words that are used for divorce. And when we went through the outline of how you divorce, remember there had to be a discovery of some underlying unfaithfulness sexually. And then you write a bill of divorcement, and then you put it in her hand, then you send her away. So we can use this language as the final word for divorce. It's a different word, but it encapsulates the whole process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was translation or something of that situation.
Yeah. And we say things like that. We say, well, I divorce, or are we separated? Or I kicked her out of the house. Well, we might not say that because that might not be, but it might mean divorce. You know, we have different words the same way. So that's a bit generally what's happening, okay? So is this new instruction? Again, God specifically forbidden the Jews from marrying persons outside the covenant. We can find that in these texts. And these are a new scenario. Gentiles were converting to Christ. And they want to know if they have to, they can stay together with their new, as a Christian, with their spouse. Of course, Jesus spoke about these things that we already talked about. He's never spoke about these things. And I just want you to be comfortable with that. It's a new scenario demanding new instruction. And that's going to be very important because there's going to be some things said here that people are going to go, I never heard that. Jesus never said that. And what's Paul saying? That's right. Jesus never spoke. So when the objections are going to come pretty soon, I'm going to go back. You're right. Jesus never spoke. That's what Paul said. And so don't be surprised when this, if this is new information, because it is new, all right? I just hope when we get there, you'll see what I'm saying. So here we got a man who is a believer married to an unbeliever woman, and she consents to stay, and the rule is what? Don't divorce. That makes sense, doesn't it, on the surface? But the question is, well, then how can I have a pure relationship if I'm in a covenant relationship with an impure person? He'll answer that, okay? And likewise, here's the word, the Greek word for divorce there. It's different than the word charizo, okay? So unlike the Jews, the Old Testament, God permits mixed marriages in under the new. This is new information, okay? And so when we look at this, here's the reason. The unbelieving husband, he says in verse 14, is sanctified through his wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children are unclean, but now they're holy. Okay. I have a hard time explaining this because I don't understand the process totally. How is, if I'm a Christian, my wife's an unbeliever, how is she sanctified through me? And likewise, excuse me? Yeah, it doesn't address her spiritual salvation, does it? But it makes her holy in the marriage, but not holy necessarily to God. Now, what I'm saying is I don't know how an unbelieving husband is sanctified through a believing wife, but I know that he is. Why do I know that he is? Because God says so. So I don't understand the process entirely, but I can be comfortable that it's okay because who said it's okay? God did. And if, in this case, if Anne was not a Christian, if it was an unholy marriage, what kind of children would we have? They'd be unclean or unholy. And I don't even understand that entirely because I'm not a Jew. But I know that because of God's blessing upon me, it extends to her in this marriage. She's sanctified in the marriage, and our children are holy. And there's something about your righteousness with God spreads blessings to others around you. Is that a true principle? You see it throughout the Bible? People in the Old Testament, you see the righteous person end up blessing others who are around him. That's what God does. And that's what's happening here. So again, you might have questions like, how is the unbelieving spouse sanctified? I don't know, but I just know that he or she is. Okay, is that clear? We can move on? All right, okay, good. So, yet, here is the exception. Verse 15. Yet, if the unbelieving one leaves, who would that be? The wife who's not a Christian. Or if you're a woman who is a Christian, it'd be your husband who is not a Christian. You don't divorce them. You don't send them away. But what if they say, I'm done with you? I mean, all you do is talk about Christ. I mean, we used to party on Sunday, and now you go to services. And, you know, all these things that he said, I'm just done. And he divorces her. Can you see that scenario happening? Now, that puts her in a terrible predicament because I didn't want it. I didn't ask for it. All I did was get right with my God, and now I have a broken marriage. What is she supposed to do? Is that a fair question? All right. So if the unbelieving one leaves, what does Paul say? Let him what? Leave. Really? I thought divorce is wrong. Well, there is an exception, Jesus said, when divorce is permitted, when you break the covenant by unfaithfulness, right? Sexual unfaithfulness. Paul is now giving another instance where divorce is okay. When it's not initiated by you, it's initiated by the unbelieving spouse who deserts you. And can you expect them to honor a marriage covenant when they don't honor God in the first place? And the answer is what? No. Because the Corinthians, you know, it said about the Gentile world that people get married to divorce and they get divorced just to marry again. Somewhat like it is in the Western world today. Divorce is like, it's just things that happen. And some people have been married and divorced several times. And it's just normal. And so you could see them doing that. But here he says, let him leave. The brother or sister, doesn't matter, you know, that it's a Christian, is not under bondage. And we go, what in the world does that mean? In such cases, in such particular cases as we'd outlined, they're not in bondage. Okay? So how do you know, a wife, whether you will save your husband? How do you know, a husband, whether you save your wife? Oh, if I could just keep him here, and we can keep the marriage going, and somehow if I just submit to him and just sacrifice my faith with God, and somehow I'll lead him to Christ. And the answer is, no, you don't know that. Let him what? Let him leave. And that means divorce, and we'll show that, okay? So let's look at the word. So here we have a believer married to an unbeliever. And we look at, if they leave, it's the word charizo. Do we remember that word? Sausage. Very good. You can remember it. Chapter 7, verse 10, to the married, I say, the unhappily married, don't divorce your wife. It was charizo. And then it says in that same text, don't send her away. Charizo. Here it says, if they charizo. I don't know why your Bible says leave, because that just seems kind of nonchalant. They just kind of laughed. No, this is a strong word. They charizoed you. Divorced you. Does your Bible say anything different? Then leave. I'm in verse 15. Anybody have anything different? All right? Okay, no. So they leave. They've deserted you. Depart, it says. He says, let them charizo, or let them divorce you. It's the same word that Jesus used for divorce in Matthew 19, all right? Here it says, then the Christian spouse is not under bondage. What does that mean? The three key words, leave, bondage, in such cases, these particular cases. So let's look at this word. I'm going to suggest to you that bondage means the covenant bond. Because, remember the first file drawer, can I withhold the blessings of sexual pleasure to my spouse? Can I withhold that when I'm in a marriage bond? And the answer is no. You're in a bondage here. They have authority of your body, and likewise you over them. There's a bondage there. Do you understand what I mean? A bondage? Then to the married that are unhappy, can you leave? And the answer is what? No, you can't divorce. You're under a marriage bond. There's bondage here. You can't leave. Well, we're not happy. Work it out, right? As Christians, you can work it out. And so in every drawer, there's a bondage. There's a covenant, you know, that you're bound to. Not bondage as a slave, but you're bound to it. You have obligation. Then it gets to this one, where you're married to an unbeliever and you're even wondering if you can be pure to God and still hold hands with this person. And God says it's okay in this particular situation. You sanctify the relationship. It's by sanctifying them. But if they leave, let them divorce, you're not under what? We're not under the marriage bond. Everything before, yes. There's a marriage bond that you're subject to. You're subject to. You're subject to. You can't just divorce. You can't withhold. But now you're what? Not under bondage. Let them leave. And so the only thing that would make sense in is the marriage is over. Now, the word here is deo. It's used 43 times in the New Testament. And it's defined all these different ways. And I'm not going to look at them. All right? This word here. It's used, this word is used three times for the marriage covenant. but it's not in our verse right here, okay? And so some people object and say, this word is too strong for the marriage covenant, okay? And this word is a different word. It is used for slavery. Israel is enslaved in Egypt. You become slaves of righteousness. You've been freed from sin and what? Enslaved to God. Now that's very important because this word is used to our relationship with God. We're in a slave relationship. Do you object to that? God's your master and you're a slave? Do you object to that?
I'm in deep trouble if I do.
And we think of slavery in modern times where people are abducted against their own will and put in forced labor. Slavery in this day is totally different. It's a whole nother discussion. People volunteered to be slaves because they got out of financial debt. Sometimes it protected them. Sometimes it fed them. And so it's a wholly different type of scenario than we think of it, okay? But it's used of our relationship to God, all right? Paul said, I've made myself slave to all. He uses the same word, okay? And so here, if we're slaves of righteousness and slave to God, do you think this is too strong a word to describe a relationship in marriage, that you're enslaved to each other? If we can use it from slave to God and slave to righteousness? No, it just shows how serious this bond is. That's all it shows. And Paul says, when they leave and desert you by divorcing you, you're not under this slavery anymore. Because it would be slavery. If you have to follow this guy who's deserted you and demanding that you compromise your faith in Christ and God, because he's tired of you being a Christian. And well, I got to stay married to him, so I'm going to have to now not obey my true master and start obeying him. Would that be wrong? Well, obviously, you're not enslaved, he says. You're enslaved here. You're not under bondage. Does that make sense? Let them leave. God releases you from that covenant relationship because they've deserted you. Does that make sense? And without that, I don't know what this verse would mean. And you'd have all sorts of problems in the marriage world. So here we have a Christian unbeliever. He says, let them leave, kerygizo, in such cases. And so what we have here is Jesus said, let no man separate. Paul says, let them separate. Jesus is talking about two Christians, right? Where there's no discovery of fornication. Paul's talking about a whole new scenario. It's not a contradiction. This is a new teaching. It's where you're married to an unbeliever that leaves. Now, here are the objections. People say, well, Jesus never taught such a thing. He only taught one exception. And you know what the answer to that is? Jesus never taught. Who said that?
That's right.
Jesus never did teach anything of that. That's our point. That's what Paul says. I say, not the Lord. So when people raise that as an objection, the answer is, you're right. This is new instruction. And the second objection, Jesus gave only one reason for divorce. And the answer to that is what?
Immorality.
The answer is, that's right. He only gave one. Paul's given it a second. What is it? All that means is Jesus didn't teach on this subject. Paul did. And guess what? Paul said, Jesus never taught on it. I am. Isn't that how he introduces it? So it's not an objection, all right? If this is true, we have two reasons for divorce. And the answer is, that's right. We now have two reasons for divorce that allows you to remarry, okay? The Greek word for bondage, we already answered that. All right, so we agree, all right? And so here's interesting. Remember when you give a marriage certificate to someone? With the process of divorce, you have discovery of some infidelity. You write them a bill of certificate of divorce. That's called a get, G-E-T. I think it's up there. Yeah, right there. And then you put it in their hands, then you send them away. I tried to find the oldest one I can, but this is around the destruction of Jerusalem. This is how it read. Age divorce, the person release of my own free will, you today, who had been my wife before this time, you are free on your part to go and become the wife of any Jewish man that you wish. This is for you a writ of release and a bill of divorce. And all, they can't make up all the text. And all ruined and damaged, you will restore and pay fourfold. That has to do with the dowry, probably. At this time, you may ask me, I will replace this document as proper. But you are free to become the wife of any Jewish man. Why would he say that in the get? Because the marriage covenant has been, and now what is her status? Is she a married person or an unmarried? Unmarried, and what's the general rule of marriage? If you're unmarried, you can marry. And I say all that because now we got a scenario where an unbelieving spouse has left you, and Paul says, let him what? Divorce. How does that leave her? What's her status? Married or unmarried? She's unmarried. And she was given one of these. So what can she do now if she's not under bondage? The only thing that makes sense, the general rule of marriage applies. She can marry. Just like when you discover infidelity in your spouse and you divorce, you're free to marry. Because the marriage is what? Over. All right, so we went through this fast because there's a lot there. And I have 2 minutes I'm going to take to go through the rest of the chapter. Any questions, though? Does it make sense? Talk to me if you want. All right. So these are the ones we went through. Oops, here's the next section. He says, remain the condition called. He's going to address virgins, marrying, divorce, the unmarried, and then virgins, widows. And really quickly, verse 17 is very important. He's just going to make this argument that stay the way you are because it doesn't matter because God is going to take care of your life eventually in heaven. You're going to have everything you want. So he's going to talk about, were you circumcised? Don't seek to be uncircumcised because Jews came and they were belittled by the Gentile world for being circumcised. It was barbaric to cut yourself. And they wouldn't have anything to do with that, and so they tried to get actually an operation to be uncircumcised. Does God care about your physical makeup? The answer is no. Stay in the condition you were called, all right? Then some people were slaves, and so it doesn't matter if you're a slave. We'll go up into this one here. Were you called as a slave? Well, don't worry about it. If you're able to become free, do that. But he who was called Lord while slave is the Lord's freedman. So you're still free in God's eyes. And he who's called as a free, not a slave, you're actually Christ's slave. So what's he saying? Your social status as free or slave doesn't matter in the big picture. Doesn't matter for us what country we live in, under China, under oppression, or United States, where we're supposed to have freedom. It doesn't matter because in Christ, you are free. In the United States, well, we're free. No, in Christ, you're a slave, right? Does that make sense? So social status, all he's arguing, doesn't matter at all right? Each is to remain with God in the condition which you recall. If you're married, what's the answer? Stay married. Even though you're going to have problems because the persecution that was coming. That's what he's talking about. So it doesn't matter. Slave, doesn't matter if you're married. And he says, now virgins, I have no command of the Lord by giving opinion. In view of the present distress, remain as you are. So in other words, rather than get married, then see your spouse maybe put in jail or you put in jail and not be able to take care of because your faith in Christ and create all those hardships, it's best not to get married. But he says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. Because this is a matter of opinion, not command. See, now he's shifted from commands to wisdom. Does that make sense? So anyone could get married, even those times. But he said, I'm trying to spare you trouble. Remain the condition you're called. So we're done. We're out of time. Last thing I want to show you, though, is the last one. And he's talking about widows right here. I want this devotion to the Lord. Stay the way you are. And here it is right here. Coming up right here. A wife is bound as long as he lives, but her husband is dead. She is free to marry to whom she wishes, because now she's a widow, right? But only what? What does that mean, only in the Lord? Now, that's what I'm going to understand it to be, that there's two options, that these liberties are given to people because the Lord gives you those liberties. Only the Lord, this is possible. Well, no, this is true for anyone. If any widow, whether you're Christian or not a Christian, if your husband dies, you can remarry, right? So it doesn't make sense that this is just a privilege for Christians, only the Lord. But you are free to marry whoever she wishes, only the Lord. Only seems to make sense is, wait a second. You were worried about being married to a non-covenant relationship person. You were thinking you need to divorce him to have a pure life. And he said, no, we have a special scenario. You sanctify him. You don't have to divorce him. Now he dies and you're free to marry. Would you go purposely go marry a non-covenant person, a non-Christian? Why would you do that?
Because I love you.
I would think he's saying here, no, you marry a Christian. Don't invite trouble in your life. Only in the Lord. Don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. I'm sorry? A huge distraction. And when I was in Coeur d'Alene, there was 8 women who were married to non-believers when we were there. All but one have fallen away. I remember one saying, no, I just want to please my husband rather than the Lord. That's basically what she said, and she just left the Lord. All but one, and one is still faithful. Yeah, it's a huge distraction. Yeah. All right, there is 1 Corinthians 7. We went through 20 verses in 3 minutes. Thank you, thank you, thank you.